is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com. Probably nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa and Noel Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Goons!
Oh, yeah!
So we are back, ready to rock and roll. Got a lot going on, that's happened this past week and moving forward. You know, March Madness is, you know, upon us once again, long awaited. We have some interesting news involving quarterback Deshaun Watson, so I think that's where we should start off with. If you haven't heard recently, Deshaun Watson is in the news for all the wrong reasons. He has had 7 sexual assault allegations go against him. At first, people thought it wasn't a big deal. It was just one person. And usually, when it's just one person accusing somebody, you can kind of either look at it two ways. It's either they're telling the truth, or it's just a way just to get a quick bag and just get some fame off it. Because, you know, I've noticed this happen a couple of times. This happened to Peyton Manning right around when he retired. This happened. Some girl brought something up back in 1998, but it was only one person. So it kind of just nothing ever happened, because I think it was just someone just trying to just use his name to get something out of it. So that didn't go anywhere, but this is really starting to escalate really fast. First it was one person, then it was 3 people, and now we're up to 7. It's getting a lot of people questioning about, you know, Deshaun Watson's character, and like, all right, what did he actually do? And it's affecting him, you know. As you know, he wants to leave the Texans, he wants to get traded, but with all this baggage, can they really can't trade him? You know, Dom, I'll start with you. How badly does this hurt his trade value and overall his legacy in football? Because, you know, a lot of allegations have happened in football for all the wrong reasons for other people in the sport. And when it comes to show, you know, at the end of the day, these people get released or get, you know, fired from their jobs.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's actually up to 12 now. So that number keeps on escalating.
12?
Yeah.
Oh, yep, no. It keeps jumping. I was about to say that.
Yeah. Yep. 12 women are suing Deshaun for sexual misconduct. So that's not good. And Anthony, we talked about this just recently the other day. And, you know, when it's first like Peyton Manning situation, 1 to 2, maybe a small number, you sneeze it off and everything like that. You don't really think of it. But now with this, you're starting to think like, hey, it's starting to fall like dominoes here, and the numbers keep to pile up. So I think Deshaun Watson has to worry about a little more rather than just getting out of Houston. Because this is putting a huge mark on his career. But to me, it is weird that this is happening during the time that he also wants out. He's pissed off with the organization, and his frustration shows, and maybe the Texans don't like that. But it's just weird to me that out of all times this is happening, it's happening when like he's also showing frustration for their – what his team's doing. I don't know. That's the only fishy thing. And I know the number keeps going up, but that's just one thing I'm going to keep in mind, to where it's like, it just, for some reason, it doesn't click together in a good way to me.
All right. So Noah, conspiracy theory, you know, he's, Dom's saying he's frustrated. He's in the news for all the wrong reasons. He wants to get traded and all this stuff comes out. Do you buy that? Do you think it's a coincidence, or do you think that this was planned out by maybe the Texans to really, in ways keep him by doing this? I highly doubt it, but I want to get your take.
Yeah, the 12 number is really, really just too much to kind of ignore. You know, at this point, we're getting reports, and it did, I will say this, it kind of came out of just nowhere, and it's skyrocketed and snowballed into this situation where you had a week ago, we really didn't know much about anything. And then it's just gotten more and more. At one point it's 7, then it was 9. Now it's 12. And like, it's just, let's not be surprised if it keeps going up, but I just don't think that there's any evidence that to say that these women are lying or anything. So we have to just see what happens in the coming weeks, but it is 12 women who are coming out about sexual assault, sexual harassment, these are serious charges, serious allegations. So he's in a whole lot of trouble. And where does he go from here? Is he going to be able to play? How is this, these suits going to manifest? It's a really crazy story that has kind of hit us out of nowhere in, you know, mid-March. So it's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I feel like it's all going to be kind of out in the open when one of the accusers kind of, you know, obviously they're stepping up and they're, you know, accusing him of this and they're filing these lawsuits, but it's really going to take another level if one of them really goes on the record and says what he actually did and can in ways prove evidence that it actually happened. Because we're just going out based of word of what they're saying, right? I'm not knocking them of saying that it's false, but like the evidence will then back it up. You know, because it happens so many times with these celebrities, whether it's a sports celebrity or, you know, a Hollywood celebrity, where these accusations come up and you're like, okay, we're like, eh, not sure. Then it really starts to happen. You know, obviously with Harvey Weinstein, that was obviously really true. The Bill Cosby thing, that's been rumored for a while, but then that blew up a couple years ago, and obviously he's in prison for the rest of his life. So it's just very interesting. If it is true for Deshaun Watson, it's very sad. For him, you know, because he was this big, you know, he was this big star, came out of Clemson, national champion, supposed to be one of the great young quarterbacks of this generation, of our generation. And now he's, you know, his reputation's, you know, getting thrown in the dirt day by day, week by week, minute by minute. And it sucks. So obviously this story is going to continue to develop as the offseason goes on within football. So any new or major updates, we will definitely talk about that. Moving forward, March Madness is finally upon us. You know, we're in day three of the tournament. You know, it's really exciting. We've already had a couple upsets, mainly the Ohio State one. You know, that was a pretty big one. I recently saw a report how one of the stars was receiving death threats for his loss, and that's just something you just can't do. Like, you got to remember, these kids are 20, 21, 22.
And it's just a game, man. Relax.
Yeah, it's just a game. Like, all right, you had an off day. All right, I know it's a big deal, but, like, I mean, everyone's bracket got destroyed because of that loss. But it's like, all right, you were in a pool with 14 million other people. Yeah,
relax. It's like, come on. It's not the end of the world just because you do something that almost the whole nation does when it comes to a bracket. It's like, are we really getting that petty with things? Like, these kids are athletes. They have emotion, too. They have good and bad days, just like every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks. And you know, I just hope that, you know, people can really just sit back and relax. Then, you know, what if you were them? Like, put yourself in their shoes. Like, it's tough. And, you know, these kids, you know, a lot of people are, you know, a lot of them say it's, you know, it could be their last game, you know, because a lot of these kids, you know, they don't think they can make it to the NBA or it's not in their future. So it's always not in the cards. But Noah, you know, I want to go back to you. You know, you had a couple bets a couple nights ago. You're really rooting for Rutgers to pull out against Clemson. They did. and they're playing, I believe, today. I'm not sure who they're playing. But, yeah, that was a big win. It was a big win for Jersey overall. For them to win, it's the first time they've been in the big dance in a while. So for them to move on, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really interesting matchup between them and Clemson. Like 10-7, there's one of those where it's a trap one. Like, it really could go either way. And I thought the way they just came together and really spread out the scoring. Like, coming into this game, knowing that a team from New Jersey like Rutgers, who has had some issues with their men's program in the past and their women's program for that matter, they've had some issues and they're able to make it to the tournament and play well and beat a Clemson Tigers team. That's really tough. It was a fun game to watch. It was close. And this is why you watch March Madness, because anytime any team can get that upset. And like you guys were talking about with the Ohio State, that Ohio State game, I mean, the way that went down towards the end, how Oral Roberts pulled away and then it's a 6-point game and then Ohio State pulls back in overtime. Like, you just don't see that. It's just so interesting. You always get those upsets, and my bracket was busted by that time. So, the Rutgers game, really, really great one. And even the night before, they had the playing games between Michigan State and UCLA. That was a phenomenal game. Went into overtime, back and forth affair. Tom Izzo's pulling his players around and yelling at them. So college basketball, especially when it gets into this time, I'll be honest. Like I don't really get into it. You know, during the regular season, I have the Rangers and the Yankees, but when it gets going like this, you know, it really gets really good. And Rutgers pulled out a big win yesterday, or Friday night?
Yes.
So, yeah, big time.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's fun to see. Obviously, we're gonna see more upsets. Obviously, the Tar Heels lost. Our good friend Justin Reedman's a big Tar Heels fan. However, you know, they've been a team that hasn't been kind of the same, as well as Duke and Kentucky, as those two teams did not make the tournament first time in a really long time.
Crazy.
So I think those three teams really got to go back to the drawing board and really figure out how they can restructure their team. Because I think, you know, these one-and-done things that they have been doing for a while, because they're these big schools with these big programs, I don't think it's working anymore. So they got to go figure it out. But nevertheless, you know, we are, you know, only 1 week in, or yeah, 1 week into March Madness, still got a lot more to go. It's going to run through till the beginning of April. So any major updates around March Madness, we'll definitely keep you posted on that. But that's going to do it for this segment of the Sports Fever. When we come back, it's going to be this day in history. And on this day, 2 years ago, an MLB legend retired. Who is that? You'll find out only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronc.com, live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me today is Dom DeRosa and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Oh, yeah.
Googs!
Yeah, let's do this.
Oh, yeah. So, obviously, in the last segment, we talked about our topical news stories of the week regarding Deshaun Watson and his unfortunate sexual allegations against him, as well as the big dance beginning this past weekend. And now today, it is probably one of my favorite things that we have come up this day in history, where we talk about a pretty recent either sporting event or something that happened to a player that happened on this specific day. And on March 21st, 2019, legend in Major League Baseball hung up his cleats. He is a Japanese superstar, has well over 3,000 hits in the major leagues, has career-wise, going from the MLB and Japan, the most hits by any baseball player ever, holds the title for the most hits in the season in 2004, 10-time Gold Glover, MVP, and Rookie of the Year in 2001. Mr. Ichiro Suzuki, legend for the Mariners. He would go on to play with the Yankees. He'd go on to play with the Marlins. Then he went back to the Mariners. But this guy was just a grinder. He came into the league at age 27, and he had his peak, you know, from 27 to 37, was just ridiculous. You know, imagine if this guy played, you know, Noah, I'll go to you, when he first started in like 94, 95. Imagine that. He'd probably beat Pete Rose's record.
It's just crazy to think about. Like, I know, Anthony, me and you, like, we're lucky enough to have had him on our team, you know. Like, he was such a special player, and even I know he was older when he was a Yankee, but he's just such a special player. Can do everything, has speed, plays the small ball well, is a great defender. I mean, he was the all, like, everything. He had everything, the full package. And one of the most fun players to watch. And another little note, I know for when I had backyard baseball, he was one of the best players to play with. He could bunt. He had so much speed. He was great. I mean, like, backyard baseball, 2007, you played with Ichiro and Derek Jeter. Those were the two people you had to have on your team. He was awesome. So I just, he's somebody that has given me a lot of good memories.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And Dom, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I mean, he had some serious pop, but he never showed it. But he always showed it in BP. He just, all right, time to hit some home runs. Just start cranking them out.
Cracking the bat, baby. Ichiro, like Noah really said, he nailed it. He was a five-star, you know, five-tool player. And he showed everything he could every day on that baseball field until the day he did retire. And even now, you'll see him in a little bit. I think he was with the Mariners.
Yeah. Right? He's like a special advisor for the Mariners. There we go. Doing BP with them. Like, he could probably still play.
I mean, really, he could. How old is he now?
Like in his mid-40s.
Yeah, 45, 46.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ichiro was just a beast. I mean, this guy had one of the most underrated arms ever in right field. And I only say that because you don't expect Ichiro Suzuki to, like, throw an absolute cannon to throw you out going to third. And that man was just flinging it without even trying. It was just, he was an unbelievable talent for all the years he played.
No, yeah, he was. And, you know, it sucked that he never got the ring. I feel like that could have been kind of the icing on the cake. It probably could have maybe got him a unanimous vote. You know, he kind of has everything you could want in a baseball player's resume. An MVP, a Rookie of the Year, a Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, 3,000 hits. You know, it doesn't have the home runs, but, you know, his batting average is like 312, 314 lifetime. It's through the roof. You know, he just unfortunately didn't get that elusive ring. In 2001, obviously the Mariners had that ridiculous, crazy record, like 116-46, but obviously they ran into the Yankees in the ALCS, and by the powers of God, I don't know how we did it, but we beat them and went on to that World Series and unfortunately lost. But yeah, that was kind of his only shot of getting a championship. Ever since then, the Mariners were really kind of just this sorry excuse for a team, and the only bright spot was him.
Yeah, they still are.
They still are. Yeah, they really haven't gotten it together, even after like Cano and Nelson Cruz.
Good prospects, though, I want to tell you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Seattle's got really good prospects. It's just a matter of how they pan out and play with those prospects. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had also, he also had one of the most unorthodox swings, He held it funny, his leg, the way he kind of, stepped into everything and just, his hips would fly out. But it worked. I don't know, it somehow worked.
You're so right. Like, there were so many moving parts with it, and I feel like his swing, it was very wide, like the way he brought the bat around, but he got on base, he got hits. I do have a question, Anthony, and I know this is probably very easy for you, but would you even like consider at that time of taking anybody like between Derek Jeter and Ichiro, like having one or the other? Or would you just decide on that, or like
when
would you just like? Like 2003, when there was that little drought, like 2002 to 2008, like that little drought for the Yankees. I know they made playoffs a lot, but they weren't able to win a World Series.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
You still get the one in 2009, but they had the debacle of 2004, made the 2003 World Series, but lost the Marlins. Like they could not get it going after the four championships of the 90s into 2000.
Yeah, I don't know. I still have to go with Jeter because he's still kind of produced.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it's just straight bias at that point. Because I don't know how well Ichiro could have done. I don't know. I feel like he would have excelled with us. I'm surprised the Yankees didn't even really go after him because the Mariners got him for like nothing.
Yeah.
They got him for like $5 million. I think the bid price was for him. And then they signed him when they got him for like $20 million. And it was a steal.
Absolute steal.
For what they got. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I still take Jeter. Because even then, like in 03, he played really well. In 04, like he still played well in all those playoffs. It's just, I don't know, just the team. I feel like our rotation really wasn't great. Because I would always watch highlights and I was just like, who the heck are these people? And some of the players too, I was like, who? I was like, some of these people that were batting in front of him, I was like, what the heck? Like, that's a nobody. But obviously, I think once Ichiro kind of exploded, the Yankees were like, all right, we got to get someone of our own. Also, we got Hideki Matsui. And though he was really good for us, he was no Ichiro. I do feel like if they were to get Ichiro, it would have been over.
That would have been, oof.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. We'll end off with this. If you guys can think, I know he really didn't play while we were watching it. We kind of got into baseball kind of towards the end of his career. What is your favorite Ichiro moment, whether if you saw it live or like through like a old school video?
When he was a Yankee, when he made the home run milestone, correct? What was it? Not a home. No, 3,000 hits. Home run.
No.
See, that's it.
He was with the Marlins.
He was?
He had a triple off the wall in Colorado.
All right. Then I think 2,000 hits was with the Yankees. There was one of them with the Yankees because Michael Kay did announce something.
I think it was him getting 3,000 hits in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Yeah,
that was one of my favorite moments. I'm not even a Yankee fan and stuff, but like that was so cool to witness, and the play call for that and just the standing ovation. It gave me chills. It still does to this day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that because obviously combining the two gives, that was what that came from. It's hard to say. I mean, there were so many good ones with the Yankees. Trying to think, Anthony? Do you have one? I do.
Mine is back in the day with Seattle, where you threw absolute laser to third base, mm-hmm. where the guy's like, that thing came out of Star Wars, and that thing was just a missile, no bounce too. That was a straight shot. I was like, oh my god, I don't know how he was able to get that, because he was like deep in right field, I think in Oakland, and he just like launched. I was like, Jesus Christ.
But and Oakland has such big sanctions.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was so big. So for him to get all that power and launch it, no bounce through, just on the money too. Yep. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like one of the best arms I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But what's your moment, Noah? You can't think of any?
I can't think of any. He's somebody that I don't know. I can't think of any.
It's all right.
I mean, I don't. Oh, wait, Anthony.
Yeah.
I think I just, hold on. Yeah, I found the video of him throwing out that guy.
Yeah, right. It's pretty cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is insane.
No, it's ridiculous. I was just like, I saw that. I still see replays of it too. You know, but yeah, it's just great to see. Obviously, you know, I feel like he should be a unanimous choice in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Mo's the only one who is now. Jeter obviously was one vote shy, but I feel like this is a guy who you really can't say anything. You really can't say anything about it.
Yeah, someone will. I don't know why, but someone's going to say, oh, his home run count total is nothing superior to. It's like, okay, home runs is not everything, buddy. Someone's going to do something like that, sadly.
Yeah.
I do think.
It's either that or they're going to hold, like, the rings against him.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. But, it's ridiculous. But we'll wait and see. That'll be in 2024, 2025, I think.
Yeah, 2024.
Yeah, so he's got some time. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our game of the week on the next segment of the Sports Fever, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me today is Don DeRosa and Noah Glugata, or otherwise known as Googs.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so obviously third segment of the show is obviously our game of the week. Last week's game of the week was a good one. Nets-Knicks, that was Monday night on ESPN. It was a thriller. You know, the Nets kind of had the lead the whole game. At one point, they were up by 20. It kind of looked out of reach for the Knicks, but they clawed their way back. The Nets got too comfortable, and, you know, that number one rated defense in the league showed up. They played a really good trap game to us during the end, but you know, nevertheless, when they had their chance to kind of take the lead, and they did have their chances, they couldn't capitalize. And Julius Randle was able to have a chance at the last shot. He went up. Kyrie Irving swiped at the ball. He touched the ball, and Julius Randle was still up in the air. But Julius Randle never really lost possession, so he held the ball, came back down. I think he moved once or twice, and the ref called to travel. And at first, people were thinking, "Oh, it was a jump and jump." And then, Kyrie Irving touched it. But then because of the fact that Julius Randle did not lose control of the ball or possession, it was indeed the right call and that it was a travel because of that instance. So really good on Kyrie Irving's part for playing lockdown defense for once in his life that we were able to get that win. But nevertheless, the Nets are still, you know, still fighting for that number one spot in the East. You know, we're still doing it out with the Sixers. And we got a big matchup coming up this Wednesday. Jazz versus the Nets. Utah, the number one team in the league, number one team in the West. And the Nets, you know, one of the top teams in the NBA, second in the East, right behind Philadelphia. And this is going to be a test. I feel like this is going to be one of their big, big matchups. I think a lot of people have this marked on the calendar. It's at 10 o'clock on TNT as because of they're in Utah. But I'm excited for it. I hope that Kyrie Irving does play. James Harden will play. This man shows up every day and plays 110%. Kevin Durant probably won't be playing tonight, or not tonight, I'm sorry, Wednesday night. Blake Griffin still won't be either, as they're still doing injury management on him. But what are you looking forward to in this game, Dom, between the Nets and Jazz?
Just how much James Harden is really carrying this team too, because Durant hasn't played too much for all the money that he's been getting. But the Harden trade really saved the Nets, and they're sitting nicely on the top of the rankings. But I'm just excited to see two top teams in the West and the East go at it, because the Jazz have been so good, but just always that 4 or 5 seed. And now to see them at the 1, I want to see how they do against just in general Harden and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, these two teams, one of the best offenses in the league. The Jazz were really known for just hitting threes at an alarming rate. That's how they got into this spot right now. So it's, you know, and I watched them play. I watched them play the Warriors on Curry's 33rd birthday, and they lost. Surprisingly, they lost that game, and you know the threes weren't falling. So do you think this is kind of a game where it's like if the threes don't fall, they're going to be in trouble?
I think so. I think, you know, two players that really I like watching and are Jordan Clarkson and Bogdanović. I think those two especially spread the floor really well, and with that you're able to get Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert good looks too. It's the Jazz are a really good team. The question is, it's come playoff time when the Lakers get Anthony Davis back, can they still be as dominant as they have been? I mean, they're 30-11, and this is a big game for them. Even without Kevin Durant, they need to show their dominance and who they are as a team. But the Nets are not going to make it easy on them because they're such a good scoring team even without Durant. So that's a question for you guys. Do you think the Jazz are the real deal? Do you think come playoff time they'll still be in it? Or obviously they'll still be in it, but do you think they'll be able to make a run come playoff time?
I do, only because, yeah, if Anthony Davis comes back, it's a matter of how dominant he's going to be with his presence, because he's not going to be the same right away. So yeah, that is what the Jazz are going to have to take full advantage of. Otherwise than that, I think it's their game to win or lose. I'm going to say yes right now.
Look, this is a team that's kind of kept their core together for a while. Rudy Gobert has been with them for a really long time. And obviously, you know, him and Donovan Mitchell, house, they had their issues with, you know, him not taking the coronavirus seriously, and obviously it backfiring on him and, you know, him testing positive and then finding out that Donovan Mitchell tested positive because of it. But, you know, they squandered that. They fixed it. You know, they're back together and they're atop the West. So I think they're the real deal. I feel like it's going to be them, the Lakers and the Clippers, duking it out to come out of the West. And yeah, listen, if the threes are falling and they're hitting them at a solid rate, you know, they're a hard team to beat because they could hit the three. They could beat you on defense. They could beat you inside. They kind of have everything going for them. Yes, they got a good starting five. They got a good bench, you know, led by Jordan Clarkson, as you mentioned. I think the Lakers, that's the Lakers' biggest threat are the Jazz, not the Clippers, unfortunately.
I totally agree. You already know I'm not a fan anymore. I'm just not even.
What about the Suns?
I like the Suns, but I feel like right now it's just the developing season, which sucks to say for everything that Chris Paul's been doing. So I'll get the Suns by next year. They're going to be true contenders to compete with the top dogs. They're looking really good, but I think they'll just fall short. They'll play well, but they're going to fall short.
Yeah, and okay. And also the only thing you got to worry about is how long can Chris Paul keep this up?
Yep.
You know, obviously his game is built for the long run, but, you know, he's 37. Yeah, he's 36. Yeah, he's going to be 37. And, you know, he's had some injuries, but obviously, you know, this season he hasn't gotten that injured, which is a good thing, because that training staff in Phoenix is just remarkable. Whenever someone goes to Phoenix, like, they somehow stay healthy. So, you know, the NBA's got to take some notes on what they do and try to implement it around the league.
And also, I mean, like, Monty Williams has done such a good job with that team. Like, Devin Booker has played awesome, but there Jay Crowder's always been good, but there are some improvements that obviously need to be made. Like, DeAndre Ayton's game a little bit can improve at times, and he's a little inconsistent. But overall, Monty Williams, like, he should get Coach of the Year nods, no doubt.
Yeah, so. I think it's between him and Quinn Snyder for Coach of the Year. Definitely. For sure. And then maybe you could possibly put Doc Rivers up there just because of what he's been able to do to kind of keep the Sixers at the number one spot and having them not really look back. I mean, I think the farthest they fall is like second or third, but, and then they jump right back up. So I think it's between those three guys.
Yeah, with injuries, they've been ravaged with injuries all year. So.
Yeah, COVID. Yeah, I think they've had one of the most COVID symptoms things for their players, because, you know, Curry's been out with it, and Embiid and Simmons have been out with it, I think, twice now. I've seen Embiid with the bruised knee. He's still out for another week. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. But props to him. I know that he's done in Philly. And they're the Nets' biggest threat, in my opinion. It's not the Bucks. I was talking to Ryan Reynolds, who's been on the show many times, and he said, "If you stop Giannis, you stop the Bucks."
Exactly.
They don't have a sidekick. Middleton is supposed to be their sidekick, but it, you know, he can't take
He's
over.
He's good, but he can't carry the team.
Yeah, yeah. He can't go into takeover mode.
Yeah.
So.
And that was shown in the playoffs, like that. When Giannis go down and Chris Middleton had to be the guy, and it just didn't work out. So.
Exactly. Yep. So you stop Giannis, you stop the Bucks. So, but that is going to do it for this segment of the Sports Bureau. Like we said, game of the week, Nets Jazz, 10 o'clock on Wednesday on TNT. Make sure you go watch. It's going to be a good game if you can stay up late on the East Coast for that game. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's the fourth and final segment of the show. It's our lock of the day, and we're going to talk about women in sports. It's Women Who Rock weekend on 107.7 The Bronx. So as a tribute to that, we're going to talk about some of the greatest kind of, you know, women in sports feats and kind of what we've seen from them, and just really give a shout out to all the great women in sports and all they did and all they continue to keep doing, themselves and for the sport in general. All that and more only on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs.
Don't wear it out.
I think we weren't in sync on that.
That
one
was on me, actually. I think I went first.
Yeah, you started too early, Don. Way to go.
All right, Dad, you can blame me for that one. It's all right.
Yeah, he ruined it.
I like that new thing. Don't wear it out.
Oh, man. All right, last and final segment, lock of the day. We got two games, both in the NBA, that me and Noah believe that, you know, should win you some money. We're 4-1. Unfortunately, we could have been 5-0. But the Trailblazers, unfortunately, couldn't even cover. In fact, they actually lost the Timberwolves 114-112 last Sunday. So that was a bummer. But nevertheless, we have these, you know, two good games that we feel like you should, if you want to, you know, place a bet on. First up is going to be, you know, the Knicks and the Sixers. The Knicks and Sixers played recently this past week. However, you know, the Knicks played them tough. And I feel like, you know, the Knicks would be able to cover their spread or, however, win the game outright. So we think take the Knicks spread for that game. And then obviously the Suns and the Lakers play tonight as well. We believe that the Suns will win that game. So money line on the Suns. So those are our two locks of the day. Take it to the house if you so choose to. Hopefully, we could keep it at one loss, Noah. I don't want to have more than one loss.
Let's go on a little bit of a streak here. We started out hot, took an L, as they say, and now we're going to get a dub.
Yeah,
okay,
we need some dubs. But obviously, it's Women Who Rock weekend on 107.7 The Bronx. And, you know, as you know, we are airing during the week, and I feel like it's only right to talk about the women in sports. You know, Noah, I know you want to talk about this, so why don't you kick it off for us?
Yeah, so I want to talk about sports media of women. You know, I think it's something, it's a really hard thing to get into, and I think that women who have been able to do it are so good when they're given the opportunity. And I think two that really stick out to me, more of the kind of national level, Doris Burke sticks out to me as someone just so talented, so well spoken, and had great voice, and just adds so much to a broadcast. And I feel like things are illuminated so well by her, and she's so talented at what she does. And I really enjoy listening to games that are watching games that she is broadcasting. I think she's one of the best in sports right now. And then the other one who's been doing it just forever, and I know Anthony, obviously you'll know, Susan Waldman for the Yankees. Really just always has been a staple on the radio with John Sterling for years, and has experienced some stuff in journalism, in sports media, that is, she's really been through some adversity, but has worked through it and has a really great job and a really good talent for doing radio and announcing and broadcasting. I think those are my two. And by the way, she sang the national anthem and she actually sounded pretty good. Garrett Cole, like, I guess she promised Garrett Cole that she would do it, and she ended up singing it at one of the games.
I think it was the thing of, like, if he signed with us, that was the deal. And she kept her word, and actually he kept his word. He signed that fat contract. So he kept her word. Yeah, but those are definitely two obviously great women in sports that should be mentioned. Obviously, you know, Doris Burke, you know, a trailblazer in her own right, really making her name herself, doing some national ESPN games. And Susan Waldman, like you said, all the adversities she has been through, and yet still each and every day on that broadcast with John Sterling, you know, doing the best job that she does every day. So props to them. Dom, I'm going to go to you next. You know, you're a big advocate of Rider women's basketball. You know, Michaela Farwell is, you know, your favorite player.
Thanks.
You know, obviously, you know, Lynn and that team, you know, they started off, you know, rough. It was a rough go around. Then they got hot towards the end, you know, made a little run in the MAC tournament. And, you know, the future's bright, you know, for the women Bronx.
Yes, it is. And for the season that they started around like 1-12, they really pushed on the gas pedal. And I saw a lot of flashes with them and a lot of good chemistry build up, and this team's going to be exciting to watch. So shout out to the women's basketball team. Deja Moses, who has been an incredible player for Rider, is the only senior departing. However, otherwise than that, this team is sticking together for the most part. You got Firebow, who's had a great rookie season. You got Victoria Toomey, Amanda Mobley, Toussaint, and so much more that I can get into. So the girls have a lot of depth, and they just, with all the talent that they have, they know how to produce. And Milligan's been there for a while now, and she's well-respected as a coach, and, you know, it's well-deserved for her part, too. So shout-out to Rider Women's Basketball for making a lot of noise, too, in the MAC tournament.
Yeah, and it's good that you mentioned that, how, you know, the team is, you know, really sticking it together. I feel like Toomey really, you know, I think she really kind of developed and improved on herself tremendously. Yep. From last year and, you know, from the beginning of this year till now, I think she's going to be a force to be reckoned with next year. That's who I'm looking forward to really see flourish even more next year, as well as everybody else on the team. But she is the one person I'm excited to watch, you know, when we become alumni next
winter. We're going to be the loudest cheering alumni there is for the girls team. So we're not forgetting about you. We're going to be cheering, whether if we can go to the games or not, we're cheering. I'm watching every single one. I'll be rooting for Michaela any day of the week, baby. You already know.
Right, exactly. And then for my take on women, you know, for women who rock weekend, you know, I recently saw, you know, the stuff that's been going around. I know you guys probably have as well, about the more inequality issues that's been going around with women in sports, particularly with the NCAA, when they showed the women's workout facilities and how the men's facility was way much more nicer, had a lot more resources than the women. That needs to be changed. That needs to have changed now. The women deserve more. They deserve better. And I feel like at times the women are better than the men. I'm going to be flat on honest. You know, I see it, you know, all the time, you know, with in college with the UConn team, you know, with that crazy 4-year run they had where they just didn't lose and just kept winning and winning and winning. Shows their ultimate dominance in the sport, something we haven't seen ever in a men's NCAA. Now, granted, there's, you know, it's a little bit different, but to see that, I feel like, you know, they should get rewarded and the league should get rewarded for that as well. And also to go back to kind of our national soccer team, the U.S., you know, women's team, you know, they've been on this crazy run of winning 2 national championships back to back in the last 8 years, and they're still not getting represented as they should be in terms of their pay and kind of the recognition that they deserve. So I feel like that needs to be changed. You know, women in sports, there have been some major improvements, but, you know, we're not done yet. We still got a long way to go. And, you know, I hope as we continue to progress and move forward in society, I hope that, you know, the news that we've seen recently, obviously, like I've said before, with the women with the NCAA, and hopefully with the women's national team, as I believe they're going to start ramping up again and going for their 3rd national championship, I think in like a year or two, you know, they are going to, you know, be well-deserved of something great if they were to make it. Because let's be real, if the women's team wins again for the 3rd time in a row, ooh, it's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. I'm excited for that. And yeah, you know, women, you know, let's be honest, women rock.
Yeah, baby. That's a good way to put it. Women rule.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who runs the world? Women do. But as Beyonce says it perfectly in her song, who runs the world? Girls. I think that was on her, like her 4th studio album. I forgot what it's called. I think she titled it 4. I totally forget, but that was a great album by her. I love Love on Top. That was a great song.
Oh, great song. Oh, that's such a good Love on Top, baby. Love that. It's a great song.
Go Noah.
Sorry, I'm
listening. Noah, you should start your own.
Noah's got the pipes.
Yeah, your own singing podcast, bro.
My own singing podcast?
Yeah, just you and your vocals. That's all you got to bring to the table.
I mean, there's only like a million podcasts nowadays.
Yeah, but everyone's just going to look at Noah Googs and say, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah,
it's a guy who looks like Artemi Panarin.
Yeah, you know, the hair is getting crazy, guys.
It's getting nuts. It's gonna be weird looking at you whenever you get a haircut and seeing you short again. Like, God, it's gonna be weird.
Crazy. Don't do it, dude.
I'm not gonna go too short. I don't think I can go too short. It's too much. It's too much.
Too much, Googs.
All right. Well, that is gonna do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. It's been a great show. We thank you for tuning in. If you want to catch us on our socials, you can Instagram @thesports_fever, Twitter @thesportsfever1, and you can give us an email @thesportsfever@gmail.com. But this is going to do it for this episode, and we will see you next Sunday only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.